Hey everyone, Brian from All Day Ruck Off here, and today's podcast episode is with Bianca from GoRuck. Bianca is the Events Operations Coordinator, and in this episode, we talk about some of the upcoming events she's excited about, some of the bigger events on the calendar for 2020, and some other fun events that you might not know that you want to go to. In addition, we talked about how she got involved with GoRuck. She's got an awesome story about her first event, and we just have a fun time chatting about all of the huge events GoRuck is putting on for the next year, for 2020. I hope you enjoy this episode. You're listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast, episode number 132. Thank you so much for downloading the episode. Thank you so much for all the support. I truly appreciate it. And here is the interview with Bianca. Today, I'm talking with Bianca from GoRuck. She's the Events Operations Coordinator down there. I'm really excited to have her on the call. We're going to talk about how she got involved with GoRuck, her first event, events at GoRuck, and kind of what it's like to plan out an entire year worth of awesome stuff. So, Bianca, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thanks for finding the time. I know it's busy.
It is holiday time, but you know, it's fun work, so it helps.
That's true. There's probably worse things that you could be doing right now. Not too much worse.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's worse. So your involvement with GoRuck, I mean, you know, when did you first learn about them? When did you start working for them? How did that whole thing happen?
Yeah, so it's kind of like anyone else out there. It was word of mouth. We all know Lee McCarthy, and he just happened to be dating my high school best friend at the time. And she was going through her HTL. She was like, hey, you should do this thing with me. And I was like, okay, well, what are we doing? And she's like, you would just show up and do 12 hours worth of work. I was like, no, I'm not doing it. That doesn't sound like fun. I have zero desire to do that. She was like, oh, come on, just give it a shot. You know, the typical peer pressure. So I was like, all right, fine. What do I have to do? She's like, well, you have to buy this backpack. And I was like, went online and I was like, okay, do I need this backpack? You know, at the time I was like, what's so great about this backpack? It's very pricey. And she goes, trust me, you're going to want one. So I ordered one, got my first Rucker. This is back in 2017. Had no idea what I was training for. Had no idea what GoRuck was. And she was like, you just got to show up here. We're going to put weight in your backpack or what we call a ruck. And you're going to walk X amount of miles for about 12 hours. The entire time I was like, this is stupid. Why am I doing this? You know, because we would start training for it. And I used textbooks, you know, to fill up my backpack because I was using a backpack to train. I didn't have my ruck yet. And we would just walk up and down the road in South Florida, because that's where I lived at the time, training for this event that I had no idea what it was. So come time for the event, it's in Jacksonville. Like I said, she was doing her HTL, so she had already done her heavy when I met her at the Tough, and she was already looking a little rough. I was like, oh, great, this is not going to be fun. And I ended up loving it. It was really cool to watch the entire team come together, and you had, you know, your HTLers, and they, you know who they are, and you try to help them out, and you go through 12 hours of stuff with your team. And I always came from like a team background, always played sports, you know, soccer, rugby. So just kind of having that team aspect back in my life was really cool. Moved back to Jacksonville, and I was like, you know, maybe I'll do a heavy one day. And Lee and Allison were like, no, don't do a heavy. You should just jump straight into an HTL, because if you do a heavy, you're never going to do an HTL. And I was like, okay, well, isn't that what you did last time? She goes, yeah. So in my head, I'm like, it can't be that hard. She did it, you know. And my second event ever was a Jacksonville Beach HTL. So I went from a Tough to an HTL in a matter of a year. It was an interesting transition. That was probably one of the hardest things I've done. I've done a lot of hard things, gone through the Fire Academy, tried to get a master's program, but doing the HTL was one of the harder things I've ever done.
So at the time, I'm sure when you were training for that first Tough, I mean, you were probably not too thrilled with your best friend. it seems like the event and worked out, obviously, because you came back and now you work for GoRuck. So you're probably, you know, kind of upset with her at the beginning, but do you ever end up thanking her? Because it sounded like it turned out pretty well.
I did. I actually, you know, I finished the HTL, and shortly after that, you know, Emily and Jason came up to me and they were like, hey, you know, we have this customer service position. And once I got the official offer to work for GoRuck, the first person I called was my best friend. And I was like, hey, thank you. Like, you know, had I not done that first stuff with her, I probably wouldn't even know what GoRuck is.
That's funny how that works.
It was interesting. And, you know, I love it. From the moment I started in customer service and my transition into events, every step has been great.
That's what it sounds like. You know, you stuck around for a couple of years, and most people either like their jobs and stick around or don't like them and move on. So it seems like it's worked out pretty well for you.
Yeah, definitely has. I've always liked the events aspect of GoRuck. It's one of my favorite parts of GoRuck. I mean, I love our gear. I love our apparel. But for me, events is always going to have a special place in my heart.
Yeah. I mean, that's how you found out about GoRuck to begin with. And it makes total sense. So when you finished that first tough, were you thinking that you wanted to do another event sometime? Or was your first thought, you know, well, I'm glad this is done. Check that one off. And I'm never, you know, never going to GoRuck.com again.
Yeah, it was more of the second one. I was kind of like, that was a lot. It was, you know, I finished. I was like, that was cool. But I never want to do another event again. And I went home, grabbed a bunch of junk food and passed out at my friend's house. And woke up the next morning feeling a little sore, and I was like, yeah, I'd consider doing another one. It only took a day to get over that, never doing an event. Oh, I might do one more.
Yeah, it's funny. You go through that whole range of post-event emotions.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I remember the day after my first event, one of my good friends at the time who I'd signed up for, the one other person, like my high school friend who I signed up for it with, he didn't show up to the event. And so I was hanging out with him the next day. He's like, oh, maybe I'll do the next one with you. And I said, dude, there's going to be no next one. Like, I'm done. And then, you know, and then 2 days later, you're back. You're like, when's GoRuck coming back to Seattle? I hope soon.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens. When I did the HTL, I got three new people to come and do the tough portion of my HTL with me. And at the very end of the event, all three of them told me like they would never do another event again. And two of them stuck to their guns. They have not done another event. They do, you know, they like the gear and they'll do the like the call outs and stuff like that, but they won't do another event. But one girl, she's already come back and she's done, I would want to say about three or four events, and she shows up to Ruck Club and she signed up for the Marine Heavy. So that was kind of cool to see that happen.
That is so cool. So your high school best friend signs up for an HTL, gets you to tag along for the tough. A year later, you sign up for an HTL and get three friends to tag along for the tough. So when is your friend going to sign up for their HTL and start dragging people along to the tough?
I don't know. I'll have to talk to her about that one. She did surprise me and signed up for a heavy, which she said she would never do a heavy. So, you know, maybe when she's done with the Marine Heavy in 2020, we'll talk about an HTL.
Yeah. Can't break the chain. I mean, you're already... I talked to Cleve yesterday about the Marine Heavy, and it sounds like it's going to be quite the event. So it's exciting what's going on for 2020.
Yeah, we have a bunch of new events coming out in 2020, and the I like to call them themes, but the themes are really neat. The Marine Heavy, and then you have the Party Star Course in New Orleans. I'm very excited for the female team assessment. I want to see the badass babes show up and crush it.
Absolutely. I mean, the last Badass Babes event was, what, 3 months ago? That one's already back on the calendar, right, for 2020?
Yeah, we'll be in Austin. And so, unfortunately, last year I couldn't make the Louisville one. I was helping out at the New York City Star Course, but I'm registered and ready to go for the Austin. If I'm not mistaken, most of the female here at HQ are signing up for either the Tough, Light, or both of the Badass Babes in 2020.
That's great. Those events sound really, really awesome. I mean, obviously, I don't know. No experience on that end, but from what I hear, from what I'm told, The Badass Babes event are awesome.
Yeah, I had a little bit of FOMO last year when I was watching the live feed of the event.
That's the tough part right there is the there's just so many awesome events that happen around the country that, I mean, I think everyone gets at least some form of FOMO.
Yeah, that's for sure. I like Normandy was a big one this year, and we're hoping, you know, Normandy is just as big next year. I would highly recommend that one as well. That's a fun event out in Normandy.
Yeah, I've had a couple cadre on to talk about, you know, Normandy in the past, and I mean, they're always just like beyond happy that they were able to make it out there and take part. And it's been really fun to see that event expand over the years to include the Star Course in the most recent year.
Yeah, Star Course is where it's at right now. I mean, it's a lot easier to get a friend to sign up and do a Star Course with you than it is to get them to sign up and do a Tough, you know, especially your runner friends. You'll be like, hey, it's just like another, you know, half marathon, or it's just like another 15K race, like, except for you just got weight on your back. Let's do this.
Yeah. I like to see that there's some level of predictability with the Star Course. Like when you're trying to get your friends to sign up for a Tough and they say, well, how many pushups do you have to do? And you're like, I don't know, like somewhere between 0 and 500 probably. Like, it really depends. You know, are we going to get it in the water? I don't know. Maybe between like 0 and 3 or 4 times. Who's to say? Depends on the cadre.
Exactly.
With the Star Course event, it's more of a known event. I mean, you don't know the course in advance. You don't know the landmarks, but you do know it's going to be roughly about whatever the distances you signed up for. So I think that's a great gateway into the whole world of GoRuck, especially like you said, for those runner friends.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping to see new participants, new demographics out there kind of getting into rucking. Not that, you know, we're hoping that leads essentially then, okay, now I did 50 miles. I can definitely do a Tough, you know?
Yeah.
From what I heard, I personally have not done the 50 miler yet, but from what I heard, it is a force to be reckoned with.
It is. It certainly is. I was hurting a bit more than I expected after mine. I'll say that.
Which one did you do?
I did Seattle in 2018, I guess. It was last year's, the first year of Star Course events.
Yeah, the first annual Seattle Star Course. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a fun event. Our team ended up going over 60 miles, so I don't know.
Uh-oh.
but yeah, I mean, we definitely got our money's worth on that event.
That's cool.
So you haven't done a 50 yet, but it sounds like you're, you know, pretty excited about the Star Course line of events. Are you planning for one in the future sometime, or?
Yeah, I am. You know, I end up working a lot of them, so I just got to work with my team. Like, for example, I believe Cadre Ricky is going to be doing the Tampa 50 miler, so I will be working that one while he's actually participating. Personally, I want to get to either the New Orleans Star Course or the Tokyo Star Course.
Both of those sound like they'd be a ton of fun for very different reasons.
Yeah.
So is the New Orleans Star Course, is that the one that you called the Party Star Course?
The Party Star Course. We got some big plans for that one. Hopefully we get higher participant numbers, you know, on the books, but we want to make it essentially just one really big party.
Do you want to talk about that? What you've got planned?
Sure.
for the New Orleans Star Course?
Yeah, I've been working closely with Bomber and do the Ruck Clubs out in Louisiana. Basically, we want to plan the route where you got to go through Bourbon Street, or at least end somewhere in Bourbon Street. And we'll have, you know, food and drinks and music, you know, just the whole nine yards ready for anyone that wants to come by and either cheer on the finishers or, you know, the finishers themselves. We really want to bring the big party to the end of the New Orleans Star Course.
It sounds like a ton of fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
what better place to do it in than Bourbon Street?
Right? Yeah. If there's a location that you're going to be running a party at the end of an event, that seems like the one.
Yeah. And we're working very closely with the local Ruck Clubs around there to kind of hook us up with, you know, some leads on, hey, this is the best, you know, food caterer location here. You can get, you know, your best beers over here, you know, stuff like that.
That's perfect. And that's, you know, one of the coolest things I think I've seen in the past couple of years within the community is just the huge number of rec clubs come out of it. And I mean, whenever you travel somewhere, you can always hit up the local rec clubs. And even if you're not able to get a rec in, you can talk to other people in the community and find places to eat, find places that you should go and visit. And it's just, it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's really cool. And Events is actually, we're working very closely with the Rad Division here with Kitley and Bomber, who are in charge of rec clubs. They help us, the rec clubs help drive events, you know, just as much as the event ops team does. We kind of lean on them for, hey, you have a suggestion for a start point, or what do you think of this route, you know, for the star course? Is this going through safe neighborhoods? Is there anything fun around here? You know, stuff like that. It's really cool to see the rec clubs like step up too and offer to help us out, you know, making sure the event is ran properly.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes, I mean, it makes a lot of sense because you're going to so many different cities in 2020 for the star course. I mean, it's just a huge number of locations. So to have people there in the community to you know, kind of check it out, let you know which neighborhoods are good, which ones maybe you don't want to be rocking through at 3 a.m. That's got to be a ton of help. So when we had the star course, it was Michael S. and DS were out in Seattle for 2018. And I wasn't able to take part in the event because it was on my wife's 30th birthday. And I was fairly certain if I signed up for the Star Course 50 instead of celebrating her birthday, then that would be the last GoRuck event ever.
Believe it or not, that happens a lot.
Yeah. So it would have either been the last event ever, or I would have had a free calendar after that because I'd probably no longer be married. So, so we hung out the night before the event, and we were in downtown Seattle walking through an area, and they're like, "Man, we got to check our route real quick to make sure we're not routing any GRT through here." It was awesome to see Cadre on the ground, kind of taking in the surroundings and making some modifications, making sure everyone, you know, all their participants are going to be safe at the event.
Oh yeah, for sure. They definitely, we have Cadre are really good about that. They land in their destination and they do what we call the route recon, and they take the hit list and they pretty much rock and drive by every, you know, point on the hit list and make sure that you're not going in a dangerous area. You're avoiding highways. You know, is there a bathroom? Is there no bathroom nearby? Can they replenish water? And that's kind of how we figure out, okay, well, this, you know, leg of the race, there's no water, there's no bathroom break. Like, that's where we're going to set up a cadre and hand out like a Gatorade and an orange or a banana, kind of build morale.
Yeah, nothing like, you know, seeing someone you know when you're out there, because some of those stretches between those points can be upwards of 12 plus miles.
Oh, yeah.
So with so many events coming out in 2020, I mean, the Marine Heavy's new. There's going to be, you know, GRT reunions coming back, but there's also going to be Cadre reunion this year, which looks insane. The huge...
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
It is. The list of Cadre is kind of up on the website already, and there's a ton there. And on top of that, the weight, it's, what is it, 45 pounds if you're over 150 and 30 if you're under. So the weight's a step up too.
Yeah, it's pretty much a heavy in the time frame of a tough. So it'll be interesting to see. It's going to have a different feel than the GRT reunion. I don't know if you made it to GRT reunion, but it's more, that one's a fun event. This one's going to be a little different. It won't be fun. It just
different type of different. Fun. Yeah, definitely different. It's probably a good way to describe what's going to happen there. Because yeah, just looking at that list, it's a bunch of Cadre who are going to be hungry for some participants.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, back in earlier years of GoRuck's existence, there weren't all these kind of special events. It was just the challenge. And then I remember, you know, selection came, and then the light and the heavy, and now there's all these, you know, special versions of the events. There's Bragg Heavy's been around for a while, but now we have the Marine Heavy. We've got a number of special toughs, the double heavy. Is it difficult to kind of plan out a year to get all these special events on one calendar?
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. This year we did it a little bit differently too. Like I said, we're kind of working a little closer with RAD. So we reached out to rut clubs because, you know, they're going to know what their people want as far as what type of event, the theme of event, and especially the timing. Make sure we're not putting an event during, let's say, a big marathon weekend where it's like, okay, everyone's doing the marathon. So the way we did it this year was we reached out to the rut club leaders and they kind of told us that we want a Battle of Fallujah on this day, or, you know, for example, Remember the Alamo, that's in a very specific location. But they specifically asked for that event. And the thing with the theme events is it's not hard to come up with them. It's just hard to space them out so that people have enough time and they're not having to pick and choose. Well, I either have to do this one or this one. We want everyone to be able to do those big name events without having to pick and choose a different one.
Yeah, because that would be kind of tough, right? If Greg Heavy was the same weekend as GRT Reunion or some of those other events that people make trips out of to go to take part in.
Exactly. And we do want to, like, everyone knows Brag Heavy is going to be in February, and we kind of like getting into that routine. That way people can plan and be like, okay, well, I know Brag Heavy is in February. So those bigger events, and we're trying to do it with the 50, 26, and 12 mile or star courses, kind of keep them on a very specific date. So that way that town knows, okay, hey, on this day or this month is, you know, the Go Ruck Star course, or this month is Fort Bragg Heavy, you know?
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier to plan, right?
Exactly. But as far as trying to get an entire calendar together, it's not easy. It's a little fun trying to figure it out. It's a lot of adjusting, but it's interesting.
That's a good way to put it. It's interesting. Probably seems like a pretty complicated jigsaw puzzle.
That's a great analogy.
So New Orleans is going to be the, you know, the party star course. Are there any other events happening this year that are, you know, might have their own different style that might not be known just based off the title of the event?
10-year anniversary is supposed to be a big event, and we're having those spaced out. There's going to be one in St. Augustine, one in D.C., one in San Fran, and one in New York. Those are another ones that we're going to put a lot of resources into just because it's the 10-year anniversary of the challenge. So those will have a little bit extra of a flair to them.
Yeah, and it was pretty cool looking at the dates for them because, I mean, like you said, they're spaced out. So you should be able to hit, if you're the person who travels for events, you could probably hit all of them. They go from the end of 2020 even into, I think, Austin is in 2021.
Yes, Austin is the first event that we have for 2021.
So that one, I mean, you've got plenty of time to plan that trip.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember I was checking the calendar out, and I was like, wow, I didn't even realize they were planning events that far in the future.
I don't think we did either.
But yeah, those 10-year reunion events definitely look special. Last time I checked, Jason was going to attempt to lead all of them. Is that still the plan?
We have to check with Emily to make sure that he is off the hook for those weekends. But that is the game plan. But, you know, life gets in the way. So I know Jason will do his best to try to get out there. If not, we're definitely sending one of our, you know, very well-known cadre.
Yeah, probably somebody who's been around for a while who can, you know,
somebody who was there for the beginning of the challenge, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been interesting. I mean, my first event was in 2011. And so just seeing the cadre come and go and seeing the community grow and expand. And I'm really excited to see what they're planning on doing with those 10-year anniversary events. I mean, I think on there specifically, it says that you should, if you can, bring bricks.
Yes. We want to try to keep it OG style. So if it is possible, we'd like to do the taped up bricks.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that the original weights, it was two bricks if you're under 150 and four if you're over. And then that got upped in, I think, 2011, 2012. So are we doing old bricks or new bricks?
I want to say, I'm double checking right now. Yeah, it's 4 or 6 bricks.
Okay, so then the new weights. I remember when that cut or when the change happened, I thought, man, I had to do 4 bricks last time. How am I ever going to do this with 6 bricks? And, and now we've got 30-pound ruck plates that weigh, for the majority of the time, more than 6 bricks, and people are still getting it done.
I know. It's really cool to watch that happen. Like, yeah. I can't do this. Yes, you can.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the feeling a lot of us have from doing events is you look at it online, you're like, I can, you know, 12 hours, I couldn't do that. Like your first thoughts on your first tough. And then 1 year later, you're finishing an HTL, which is way longer. I mean, it's a tough and then a heavy and a light. Not in that order exactly, but you know, the amount of events, the amount of time is way more than 12 hours. And that a year before you didn't even think you could do that. So it's been, I think a lot of us have those experiences.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the best part is just kind of watching someone overcome something that they thought they couldn't do.
Yes. That's why if I have friends who are ever trying to do their first event, it's always fun to be there for someone's first event. And I always try and make it out there because you get to see them do that and finish something that they thought that they couldn't finish.
Yeah, it's like I dragged my aunt into doing a light up in New York. And when I told her she had to put a 10-pound, you know, plate in her Echo, she was like, I can't do that for 6 hours. I was like, yes, you can. She's like, no, I can't. And she did it. And then when I handed her the 40-pound sandbag on top of that during the event, she stared at me. I was like, you can carry this. You'll be fine. And I dumped it on her shoulder.
Are you still on speaking terms after that?
We are. She told me she's never doing another event again. However, she wants to come. If I go to the New Orleans event, she wants to do the star course with me.
That is so fun.
Yeah. So she'll make a trip out of it if I go out there.
All right. Go Ruck, please. Let Bianca go. She can do it with her aunt. It'll be a ton of fun. That is so cool. I love stories about people who, you know, do an event with someone in their family because I don't know. It can be easier to convince friends because you can just give them a hard time about it for hours and hours and days. But family is a little bit trickier. So I love stories like that.
Well, it's really funny. I convinced my dad, my mom, and one of my brothers, along with my mom's friend and her mom, to do the Miami Constellation. And I will say that was very, very exciting to watch them do that. My parents haven't done a GoRuck event. They're not old, but they are older. My dad's 57 years old. My mom's 54. My brother just turned 21. So watching them as a team and during the Constellation event, it was really neat to watch.
I can imagine. Did you stay for the pepper spray?
So I didn't tell them that was going to be part of the event. I left that part out. But they were making their face shields out of the water bottles. And they're like, what's this for? I was like, oh, it's just for this last evolution you're going to do. And with the new curriculum, the tear gas or the pepper spray doesn't come until the very, very end. But when it hits you, it hits you hard. And so they were in the top of this tower. And I did not do the event, by the way. I was just there to assist.
Assist and laugh.
They were at the top of a fire tower. So they were on the third floor of the Miami-Dade Fire Department training tower. It was dark already, so you couldn't see. Cadre went in and zip tied them or handcuffed them. And then they had to help each other get out. And then once everyone's hands were free, they put a tear gas can in there and they had to put their face shields on. And then they had to come out. And immediately once they got out of the building, they had 2 scenarios to do. And one was the car was on fire and there was a person inside. So they had to break into the vehicle without breaking the glass and help the person inside. And the other one was there was a person stuck under a vehicle and they had to lift it and grab the person out of from underneath the car. And so it was really cool watching the team come together because that was just like one big team event. And all these individuals came together, put the skills that they were just taught the last 10 hours before, they put all together and they they accomplished evolution.
That's awesome. So how did they all feel after that?
My dad really enjoyed it. He loved it. He thought it was great. He wants to do more of that type of event. He wants to do the one where you learn a skill set and kind of practice it. My brother is actually going to the Fire Academy. So he just liked that he got an inside look of like kind of the training on that. And my mom, you know, she probably won't do one again, but she'll rep GORUCK until she's no longer with us. She has every gear possible.
That is so awesome. And she finished the event, right?
She did finish the event. Yeah. She's also another one considering to do one of our newer star course, the 5-10-15K. She did say she would do one of those. And that's kind of what we're looking with the star course, is to get people like that involved in rucking.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a ton of sense, especially with those brand new distances. So, I mean, when the star course is coming, it's coming big for 2020. I think that first weekend of 5K, 10K, 15K star courses, I mean, there are just tons of different cities. So are you going to be able to travel out and help run some of those events?
So because of their smaller 5, 10, 15K, we are trained our cadre that there's less support needed for those events. And we're actually, like I said, we're going to lean on the ruck clubs a little bit more to help out with that. And since it's, you know, that it's not a 20-hour time span or an 11-hour time span, it's a shorter amount of time that they have to complete the 5, 10, or 15K. Our cadre are very well equipped to be able to run those events on their own. Now, if one of them does, you know, reach a maximum amount of participants, which I think we have it capped out at 500, then, you know, then we're going to send in extra support.
That makes a lot of sense. And I mean, the way they're rigged up, right, they should all be ending around the same time, so they're only going to be out there for probably, well, I guess the longest one's 3.5 hours, so between startup, you know, setup and close time, it's not long at all, especially compared to those bigger events.
Yeah, it's about 4 hours, give or take, because the cadre is probably going to get there around 7:30, and you know, everyone has to be done with the 5, 10, 15K no later than noon.
So for those events, is it going to be a hard cut? If someone comes in at 12:01, are they X'd, or is it are these kind of more I guess fun run style, where it's like, well, you know, you made it, but it was a little over?
So we let the cadre use their best judgment. And so, for example, I can speak for the events that I've gone to. We always give and take about, you know, 2 to 5 minutes. You know, just given that sometimes the cadre doesn't launch them exactly at 9:00 at night. Sometimes he launches them at 9:05 or 9:02. So depending on that, they'll use their best judgment, but they are supposed to be more fun. And what we want to see out at the shorter distances is we want to see the dogs out there with you. We want to see the kids, the strollers, you know, that we want to see the families coming together and rucking, whether it be a 5, 10, or 15K.
Yeah, and I think you definitely give the time for it too, because I think that the 5K has 2.5 hours or something to finish up. It's plenty of time to go
correct.
3 miles. Plenty of time.
Yeah, and we've already had a couple of kids just on the beta test come out, and they crushed it. And it's really cool to see them cross the finish line and get their patch.
I bet. That's got to be, you know, because a lot of the kids who are doing it are most likely there because their parents are there and have been doing GORUCK events for a while. So that's why they're, you know, bringing the family along. And so they've probably seen mom or dad come home with patches here and there, and now they've earned their own.
Exactly.
So, I mean, 2020 is a huge year. Is there anything else that, you know, you're excited about for 2020 on the event side that we might not have talked about yet?
I mean, there's a lot. So we have Marine Heavy. We have the 10-year anniversary, Brag Heavy. I mean, I personally, the new revamp Constellation, I would definitely make an effort to get out there. That was a really, really cool event. Hard Hitter, we're you know, that one's always, Cadre Ragnar does a great job orchestrating those, and just, you know, that donating to the GBF community is always a great thing. So the hard hitter event's always cool. We have the Higgins Tough is a new themed event that will be happening also in Louisiana. So I would check that one out. But I mean, just kind of get the hardest part is signing up. And so once you're signed up, you're in for a great event.
Yeah. I mean, on top of it all, Rucking World Championships this year. That's going to be a first for Gorak.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be huge, I'd imagine.
Yeah, that's one of our, this is how we rank them in event ops. So we call them our premier event. So team assessments up there, and Rucking World Championships. So that one's going to be, it'll be interesting to watch. We're formatting it a little bit differently. So, and we will be able to do individuals and teams. So for all the people that, you know, write into customer service saying, oh, I don't have somebody to do an event with me because I want to go at a certain pace, here's your chance, you know.
There you go.
Go at it solo.
Sign up for the Rucking World Championship and do it yourself.
And there's going to be, I mean, that cash prize.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's already people signed up who have, you know, crazy paces. It's going to be really interesting to watch the people out there who are being competitive, because I bet that's going to be just, it's going to be quite the race.
Yeah. Right now we have about 169 people signed up, and it's going to be pretty cool. We're putting a lot of work into this event and a lot of thought process and making sure that everything's properly aligned. So I have no doubt it's going to be one of those epic events.
Awesome. Well, I'm not scheduled yet, but I've been going back and forth with Ricky to have him on to talk solely about that event and, you know, get excited for it, because I think that's, you know, just one of the next big steps that Gorak's taking. That's just a ton of fun to watch.
Yeah, and Ricky's the guy to talk to about that too. He'll be able to give you a lot of information on the Rucking World Championship.
Perfect. Well, I'm glad my email went to the right place. I'm glad Bomber didn't steer me wrong, because
I love Bomber.
Yeah, he threw a number of people under the bus when I was asking him who I should reach out to. So he might be on a couple lists. We'll see. But he's good. I love Bomber. So, I mean, with all that going on this year, there's a double tough and a double heavy. There's just all over the place, tons and tons of events. I'm curious, you know, how you decide what's enough and what events to do, because like a double heavy is huge. Up until now, that had just been a custom event. I think the double, you know, back-to-back toughs, but the actual double tough event, those have just been custom in the past too. So how did those get, you know, moved over into official Gorak events?
So just like any other event, there was just a lot of popular demand. If you get enough people to, you know, talk to us and reach out to us and kind of help us see why this event should be a Gorak event instead of a custom event, we'll make it happen. We're gonna give it a shot. This is the first year we're gonna do double heavy and double tough. So, you know, depending on how it goes, we may or may not see them back for 2021. And so that's where we kind of leave it up to the community to determine whether an event stays or goes.
That makes sense. If a lot of people register, then that's great. And the event, you know, is popular in the community. And if no one registers, it might have still been a great event had it happened. But if there just isn't the interest, then there just isn't the interest. So that's a good way to figure that one out.
Yeah. And like I said, 2020, when we were building this out, we really reached out to the Ruck Clubs. And so we got their input. And these were two of the big events that a lot of Ruck Clubs were like, we would like to do this. And we even asked them, hey, what location would you like it in? You know, you have from all over the place. Where would you want to see this event that is centrally located for the people to fly into? So it was interesting to watch the 2020 schedule come together. And we're still tweaking it even now, just based off of input from Ruck Clubs and the community.
So you mentioned you're still tweaking the schedule now. Is there still going to be much movement on the calendar, new events, or is everything pretty solidified for the most part for 2020?
Everything's pretty solidified. There might be a couple of minor changes, whether it be like a date change. You know, if a rock club reaches out to us and they're like, hey, this event happens to be on the same weekend as this race, you know, can we look at moving it here and there? We'll consider something like that. I can't say whether or not we're done adding events. We might sneak a couple more out there, but we'll see. Right now, what we're looking to see is we want to see the community just sign up for the event and kind of let us know what they did like about the schedule. And if they don't sign up for an event, then maybe there wasn't that much interest, and we'll reconvene and look at 2021 and see where we could put that event somewhere else where more people can join us.
Perfect.
You nailed it on the head when you called it a jigsaw puzzle, because it's a lot of moving pieces that we just got to try to make fit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure there's an optimal solution somewhere, but when you have so many other exterior factors, right? Other races, other, you know, community events that could happen on the same weekend. I can only imagine it's incredibly difficult to get it right.
Yeah. It's not easy.
So you mentioned, you know, a lot of these events came out of requests. People had been requesting them, and that's why there's a double heavy officially on the calendar. That's why there's a double TEF officially on the calendar. Is there a good time of year to kind of request an event for the next year? Because I'm guessing right now, you know, December of 2019, like we had said, 2020 calendar is pretty much filled. I'm guessing if you requested something now for 2021, it's a little early. It might not stick around. Is there a good time of year to start saying we want something over something else?
So the best way to kind of get that request put in is going to be to go to your Ruck Club leader and have them create a list of events that you would like to see in that area. Because what we do, you know, we work with RAD, and we'll reach out to all the Ruck Club leaders and be like, okay, tell us what does your Ruck Club want? So there is a time of the year where we're going to reach out to Ruck Club leaders again and say, okay, we need to start working on 2021. What would your area like to see? And that's kind of where we're taking in the request.
And I just had Bomber on a little bit ago, and he had mentioned, you know, that almost anyone can start a Ruck Club, that you don't need 50 people out there rucking. You can just have a small group of friends. So if there's an event that you want to see made, maybe this is what you need to do is turn your group into a rock club and start asking for it. Get the list together.
Exactly. I mean, even in Jacksonville, just in Jacksonville Beach, we have three rock clubs. We have the HQ Rock Club, we have the Mother Ruckers, and then we have the Jacks Beach Ruckers. And then in Jacksonville, we have another Riverside Ruckers are out there. So even if there's already a rock club in your area, if you or start another one and that works better for a certain group. And that's the best way that we get input is from our Ruck Club and the Ruck Club leaders.
Yeah. And I've seen that a lot out here in Seattle as well. So I imagine it's similar down there, but I mean, just cause there's one Ruck Club in the area doesn't mean there can't be two. And you'll see members from one go to the other. You see people who are members of both. I mean, really, it just gives people more opportunities to get out there rucking. I can't almost see any circumstance where more ruck clubs is worse than less.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know, some people can make, for example, HQ. We're doing our cookie ruck December 18th. Some people can't make it. So the Southside Ruckers in Jacksonville are doing it the week before. So if you can't make one, you can make the other. We want to give the people in the community options to get out there and go ruck.
I love it. That is perfect. And I mean, it's all been, you know, about, like you said, kind of lowering the barrier to entry. The 5K, 10K, 15K series is a great way to get people, you know, introduced to rucking. Multiple ruck clubs in an area with multiple different weekly rucks. I mean, it might be the difference of half an hour, but if that means that someone's kid is down and sleeping versus, you know, wide awake and screaming, that could be the difference it is for someone to make it out versus not.
Exactly.
Is there anything else that you want to make sure that we talk about? Anything else that you want to get out there?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, those premier events, we're up in the standard on those a little bit. We want to see, there's a reason we cut them down. You know, there's less heavies and less HTLs out there in 2020, but what we're looking for is more people coming together to do one epic event, instead of having, you know, a bunch of smaller events. We want those bigger events. So I've been seeing a lot of back and forth feedback on that, but just for people's knowledge, what we're hoping to see is a lot of people just join us for one of those scheduled HTLs or double heavy or you know, a heavy. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I'm excited for that too. I hope it really works out that way and you start getting the, you know, a bunch of triple digit heavies, because it's, I mean, the energy level is just way different at those, right? Compared to the heavies where 14 people start.
Oh yeah. We want to see, I don't know if you were there for DC, the first Star Course ever, but we had over 700 participants and you could, the energy on right at the very beginning of the event was amazing. It was great. Same thing with Normandy, the energy and even the finish line at Normandy and watching people come in like with 5 seconds to spare. Like we want to have those memorable epic events.
And I mean, if there's any company to really put that on, it seems like GoRec, because you've got a great track record of them so far and you've got, you know, awesome people working there. So it's perfect. Thank you so much for downloading the All Day Rock Off podcast. This has been episode number 132. You can find links to everything we talked about in the show notes at alldayrockoff.com/132. I think we mentioned 10 or so events. There's a lot of links on that page. So if you head on over there, you can get links to all of those events and everything else we talked about. If you enjoyed the podcast, I would truly appreciate it if you'd leave a review on either Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page. Those are truly appreciated. And as always, if you want to reach out about anything from this episode, please feel free to send me an email, Brian, spelled B-R-I-A-N, at alldayrockoff.com. If you want to support the podcast financially, you can always do so through the online store, alldayrockoff.com/store, or through Patreon, patreon.com/alldayrockoff. And you get a couple other bonuses if you go through that. I really hope that you enjoyed this episode with Bianca. It was a ton of fun talking with her. Hopefully I'll chat to her again next year. Maybe when we're talking about the 2021 schedule, since there's only one event on the calendar for 2021 so far. I really like that she highlighted the Party Star Course, because that was an event that I didn't even know existed. And most likely others don't as well, unless you head on over to the event page for it, because it does mention the Party Star Course there. Thank you so much for the support. I just want to take a quick second to thank Brian for supporting on Patreon. Truly, truly appreciate it. It means a lot. I just want you to know that. Thank you. And thank you for downloading this episode. And as always, don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive and drink hard, rock harder.